Right now it is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. We also occasionally take a look at stories out of the Military News, the sister paper. And once again, we are joined by the Intrepid Pair. Good morning, guys.
Hi.
Hi.
We're a trio today.
It's a trio.
There's three people.
And they're on speaker.
Well, woo! Holy smokes.
Good luck.
So we got the bases loaded. Now we just have to hit a grand slam. Okay. All right, well, let's go right to the front page of the Lakeville Journal. And we lost somebody. Who'd we lose? Who'd we lose out there?
Janet.
We lost Janet?
Janet.
All right, well, we're going to do this here. We're going to have to endure the dial tone again. All right. Cover your ears. I'm a little late.
Going to.
A little late to tell you that. See if Janet picks up here.
Hello.
There you are.
Yeah.
Hi, Janet.
And there you are.
All right. We've got the three biggies here with us this morning. All right.
And
I don't know. I don't know who's going to take what, but we'll just circle the bases and find out. Nice big picture on the front page, the rally against gun violence, the pictures they say one picture is worth 1,000 words. Well, once again, this is true on the front page of the Journal.
Absolutely, and there's a great picture by Terry Cowgill, who has helped us in the past and contributed this photo as well. There were a lot of people out on the green, and as the story says, they marched a little bit down the road, observing the crosswalks a little bit, the new crosswalks, and then back. But it's a very strong image to see the faces of those children.
And it's also nice to see the various age groups that showed up for this. Pretty widespread, a pretty even break.
Yes.
Something that I spoke to the incoming president of the Sharon Hospital about, we spoke to her about nursing and how it always stumped me that people need jobs, good-paying jobs, there's one area that's always going to be expanding, and that's nursing. And you've got a story, demand for nurses is urgent, which is true.
Yes, this is a striking story because it points out that we as a state need more nurses every year than we graduate. And it is a puzzle, why can't we enroll more nursing students? But one of the things the story points out is that, in fact, it's also a challenge to find faculty. So while you might have a lot of demand, you have to be able to provide faculty services to teach the nurses. And one of the other comments in the story is that some of the nurses have sort of done the math and realized that if they were to go on and get a master's that would allow them to teach, they would probably have a large debt in the end, and they wouldn't even make as much money.
It's a tangled web that is webbed through the medical community with this. Absolutely amazing. Right below that story, though, is the person who I was speaking to that about, and that is the new president at the Sharon Hospital, which is someone who's very familiar with the Sharon Hospital.
Yeah, she's been there a long time, and she's definitely has a bedside history, and is I think admired by many of the staff over there. This should be a challenge for her as well, because the hospital has not made everybody happy about their transition plans. And they still have a few more years to go, but it's definitely a story worth reading.
Absolutely, and And regardless or not, poor Mark Hurko, and I say poor Mark Hurko, was always considered an outsider simply because he had that other position at Putnam Hospital. And it's just nice to have a name that people in the community know be there as the new president. So that will ease up some of the constraint that goes on with people. We'll switch over to Region 1 now. They are going back to having an assistant superintendent, and that hire was made over the past week.
Yes, and as you obviously know, Patrick Sullivan has covered this for quite a long time, and he was far more familiar with the mechanics here, but they did try to have a couple of people filling that job, and they've now appointed someone from the Suffield Public Schools, Janine Rose, who was the K-12 curriculum coordinator over there. So she's joining, and she will be, you know, full-time assistant superintendent.
I love the picture, and I love the story. David Camp, for a couple of years, along with Peter Richmond, did a show, Tangled Up in Blue, here about the New York Giants, because they're both Giant fans. But the story with David is a pre-Broadway premiere for a local first-time lyricist, David Camp.
Yes, David Camp is a Lakeville denizen, if you will, and a longtime contributor to brands that we all know, like Vanity Fair and GQ and The New Yorker and The New York Times, and has written books as well. And he is one of the lyricists on this Kiss My Aztec performance, the Hartford stage performance that's running until the end of the month. And we accompanied this profile of David with a review by Dan Dwyer, who is on our board and is also a very well-known theater reviewer.
It's interesting. I remember when Dan actually did an interview with David Camp about this, and the first two times he tried to say "Kiss My Aztec," he came out wrong because it's a very hard thing to say initially at first until you get used to saying it.
I think they did that on purpose.
I don't know. I think maybe the first time, but the second time, Dan, I felt sorry for Dan. But I'm so glad. David Camp is just an incredibly talented person, and also, like you say, he's become a landmark in the Lakeville Salisbury area. Well, right down the street from us today, there's going to be a little news conference, and it's about the Hotchkiss Library not only raising the $1.5 million, but congratulations to them. They raised $3.5 million in their fundraising campaign to improve the library.
Yes, and this is the campaign is actually only about I guess it's 2 years old, really. It happened very quickly. Today, we will see more sort of information about what it's going to look like, what the construction schedule will be, how it will serve the community, and really get a sense of the full vision of the project. So we will definitely follow up on this story because it is a pretty outstanding accomplishment for the library and the board.
And on this page also, and I meant to point this out last week, the marriage of the print edition and the online edition. You even have a feature online this week at tricornernews.com, and you list three stories that are online. I guess part of the progress and the moving forward with the nonprofit and with the paper.
That's right. We are definitely realizing that a significant amount of our readership is really very adept at being online, and we also have we're producing a lot of news, and we can't necessarily always fit it all in, but we definitely do not want to drop the ball on any coverage of anything, especially in the towns. And so we were doing this thing where we point to stories that are online. And we also did something, which we've always done before, but when Sharon appointed its new president, Christina McCulloch, we put that right out online so that because it was a big story. So we're really trying to blend a little bit more to be be on two platforms.
And that's why what we do here with not only you, but with other papers, we put links to stories up on our Facebook page. And time and time again, and Janet, you understand this, I get pretty upset at some people that say to me, well, that I have to pay for that. I have to join. And I try to tell people, well, there are certain stories that are for free at the link at tricornernews.com. But if you don't pay for something, how do you expect a business to operate?
Yeah, it is an issue, and it has been all along. So, I mean, at our website, you can read a certain portion of each story, a small portion, or you can see the obituaries or classified line ads for free. There are things that are in front of the paywall, but, and if you subscribe to the print version of either Lakeville Journal or Millerton News, you get the website as part of that deal. So it's not an extra cost. So.
Yeah, and people just have to understand that your nonprofit doesn't mean that you can just throw things out there for free all the time. You just can't.
No, you can't. And not survive, as you say.
No. We'll move on to the next story, which is a story that raised a ruckus a couple of years ago. But the same thing happened with the Hotchkiss Library in Sharon years ago when they first announced expansion plans. Once again, the Salisbury Group now seeking input and approval for access for that housing on the town-owned rail trail.
Yes, this is a story we've been covering right along, and we're now... hopefully, everybody is aware of the fact that there are two very big information sessions coming up, one at the end of this month and one in the middle of July, and that will be followed by a town meeting at the end of July to get the public's vote. The essential thing here is to really preserve the access to the rail trail, and we have a photograph that illustrates how it would look. Where the trail is.
What's interesting about this story and why people should take and the great thing about local journalism is it explains there's a pecking order how this has to progress. Certain things have to be done to appease the state before they can move forward. And when you read this article, you'll understand what the timeline is and what has to happen at what time for this to be successful. That's all written up in this story, which I think should open the eyes for people to see what the process looks like before the hearings start. Also, I have a little block story right there about the Canaan Child Care Center receiving a $5,000 gift.
Yes, this is for some playground equipment for the children at the center. And again, this is a wonderful nonprofit, an accredited institution that provides care with discounted prices, and so it's a nice story about a generous gift from the Northwest Community Bank Foundation.
Now, John, I didn't realize that that you were a farmer, John, but you've got a great, cute little story there. Take time to pet a Holstein calf or two about National Dairy Month.
Oh yeah, well. Yes, I am familiar. I know a lot of farmers, but I just have to tell you that this looks like the Dairy Riviera to me. And I was coming to the office this morning driving by it, and there were, in fact, you know, there were families there petting cows, little children out petting the cows. So I wish everybody could take a look at this story in color. It's in color on the website.
All right, and we'll go to a Patrick Sullivan story, Fear and Loathing on the Schoharie.
Well, Patrick is not here, but he's the kind of guy who can go out and write a story if there's almost nothing going on, and you will be very entertained from beginning to end. So this was one that he did up in Phoenicia during the middle of the week, and... it's also just a wonderful exploration of not only technique, but equipment.
Yeah, it's his Tangle Lines column. He writes so frequently for us, and even those of us who do not fish find it, yes, very entertaining.
Absolutely. We will once again move a little bit further here. First of all, the Trinity Church, glorious light at Trinity Church.
Can you poke around
What's that? Yes, this is Patrick Sullivan covered the sort of ceremony around the new windows that were refurbished at Trinity Episcopal Church in Lime Rock, and they were, it was June 12th on that Sunday, they were rededicated, and we have a beautiful two or three photos online that really show how strong the color is, and it was a quarter of $1 million to do this. It was raised mostly within the parish and a foundation that specializes in restoring church.
All right, and something that's interesting, fun, and observant is going on in Falls Village this weekend. The Rainbow Crosswalk will open up on June 18th.
Yes. Again, this is a project that was funded by a grant from the Connecticut Department of Economic and Community Development in the Office of the Arts. And it's going to celebrate, it's going to invite people to come and be part of painting the crosswalk in honor, really, of Juneteenth and Pride Month. Everybody's welcome.
All right. And the blessing of the motorcycles, I always like to call it the blessing of the bikes, return to Twin Lakes.
Yes, very popular. There were more than 50 motorcycles that showed up for Father John Creda to bless their bikes, and it was a very joyous moment, because, as you pointed out, it has returned from the pandemic, so they'd missed it for a couple of years.
All right, I love the headline of the story. Selectman warns, "Don't feed the bears in Salisbury."
Yeah, well. The bears are all over the place, as we all know, and I think the Falls Village selectmen decided it was time to put out a warning. I think most people understand, not a good idea, but they still are coming up with now an ordinance that would fine people if they do it.
Hey, I've got video cameras because I love to see my wildlife, but you don't feed them, because the more you feed them, the more they come around. And they are, after all, bears. They're not grizzly bears, but they're bears. And you know what? If they're hungry and they're hungry, you don't want to put yourself in that position. So that's just a very, very, very smart. You know, I'm going to go to the next story, because a West Cornwall sewer project has been aired at the forum, and we'll talk about, you even have a letter in your letters to the editor section about this.
Well, yeah, this is a continuation of a series of reports we've done as the town marches forward with getting the idea launched, getting the funding, and there is now a federal grant, $3 million, which has set forth a series of meetings. So the townspeople came out. There was a good turnout, and it was an in-person meeting on last Saturday. And the next couple of meetings are right around the corner in later this month and in early July. So this will be a big deal, because for those who are not familiar with the project, that section of West Cornwall is kind of tied up. It can't really expand without a better sewer.
And then now I'll slide over to the editorial pages. And Janet, one of the letters, of the many letters, by the way, once again, that you're getting, West Cornwall doesn't need this project, specifically on the sewer project.
That's from Vern Henshaw, and she makes the argument that it's overkill, and gives all the reasons why. And so do read the story, and do read that letter. We do have many letters. And also this week, don't miss, we have photographs of all the Housatonic Valley Regional High School graduates in the pages. Take a look, see how all these kids have grown up and moving forward. So that's what our editorial is about, too. And read the many letters. And don't miss, in Turning Back the Pages, a story about a truffle hunt that Bob Esterbrook used to love to tell out of the pages of the Lakeville Journal. But boy, I'd love to move on to Cynthia because she has a 20-page compass to talk about.
I was going to say, holy smokes, Cynthia, we're going to give you 3.5 to 4 minutes.
That's more than I need. So don't be confused this week. We have two separate compasses. One is in what we call the broadsheet. It's our regular 2-page compass. And with a great photo of a cake from last year's Sharon Historical Society fundraiser, which is coming up. And it's like with our local farms and farm markets. It's great to grow your own tomatoes. It's great to buy them. So Sharon Historical Society looking for cake donations, but just show up at the auction and buy some. It's very helpful. You have $2,000 to spend on a cake. But we also have a 20-page special section, what we call a tab this week, and we'll be doing them once a month. There's so much going on around here in the summer, and we're trying to do a mix of culture and cooking and old cars and all the things that we love. We have a great story from one of our summer interns on hiking the Appalachian Trail with her sister. I think they made it for a full day, maybe two, and bravo to them. But also we have a longer story on changes to the trail that were made this year. Lance Christensen going around and shooting cool old cars. We have summer music. We have the Sharon Playhouse, a nice preview, very interesting program that they've got coming up. And I guess all I can say is go get a copy of it and give it a read.
You know, it's so nice to see a compass back like this because that just indicates that the area has come alive and people really are forging ahead and getting past the COVID-19 scare and actually moving on with their lives and enjoying themselves again.
That's right. And not to say that COVID is over. In fact, yeah. We have a story coming up in our issue of June 23rd about the Scottish Highland Games at Lime Rock Park, one of my favorite events of the year, June 26th, and the organizer was in quarantine with COVID. So it's not over, but it's getting better.
It's getting better, and we all are learning to adapt to it like we adapt to other diseases that are out there, like the flu
like
shots.
Like the cold.
Yeah, yes, certainly. Common cold and the flu shots. But Janet, very quickly, we'll go back to your viewpoint pages because once again, you have two amendments and why they were written is a great article.
It is. That's by Dick Ollis, who always gives us good history and good perspective. And so this is certainly the time to look back on how the Bill of Rights came about, what they say, and what the amendments are. He goes through it carefully and really, Second and Third Amendment. So don't miss this. It's fascinating. He also has a correction in here. That doesn't happen much. But he has a correction for his last column where he made an error saying that Republican Themis Clarides had raised $8 million. It was actually the incumbent, Richard Blumenthal, who raised $8 million for his campaign. So read the column and read the correction. And read all these letters. They're really good.
I was going to say the letters are really good. And once again, for you folks in Salisbury, read the story specifically about the affordable housing possibly moving forward because that story explains very plainly the steps and process that have to take place and how you are involved in that. With both those meetings and why those meetings take place at the certain dates. I just think that's a great article which sets the stage for now. We'll see what happens this summer with that parcel of land that was donated.
Yeah, that's a great point. Don't miss that article. This is the time to prepare ourselves and not, think about it later when decisions have already been made.
Absolutely. All right, well, that's This Week in the Lakeville Journal. Guys, we'll speak to you again next week.
Thanks.
Bye.
Right, take
Bye.
Care.
Thank you.
This week in the Lakeville Journal, every Thursday here on Robin Hood Radio, where we take a look at some of the stories that are in the journal and sometimes also the Millerton News as well. You can find the paper online, tricornernews.com, newsstands, and you can get home delivery as well.